Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Lance Leipold is set to be Kansas football's head coach for seasons to come. On Tuesday night, it was reported by Pete Thamel and subsequently confirmed by Fog.net that Leipold has agreed to a contract extension with Kansas through the 2029 season. The agreement ends any sort of speculation that the Kansas football head coach could go anywhere else this offseason after he led Kansas to its best season in well over a decade. And this news is massive for Kansas for a multitude of reasons. I think it goes back to one of the things that Leipold talked about when he first came to Kansas, and one of the things that he's talked about a ton over the last 18 months. It's building a consistent winner at Kansas, and consistency has not been something that can be associated with the Kansas program. KU's not had a head football coach stay with the program for 5 years or more since Mark Mangino. And with the early success of the program and the new contract extension, it appears Leipold will be the first coach since Mangino to do that. And it's interesting, too, that I think there are some similarities between the two programs and their trajectories under the two head coaches.
Talking, baby. Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You know, had me going out a whole bunch. I'll crank that up. You don't need to turn that down. Let's see. But I am excited. Tonight I'll see several thousand of my good Kansas City friends at T-Mobile Center. I've never seen the Eagles, and I'm going to see the Eagles tonight.
Wow.
I'm really excited.
You know,
I think somehow Marco picked one of the few songs they actually don't perform, which I'm looking, which is tough. There's a few of them, but like I'm looking through the set list and it's mind blowing how many great songs they
had. Man, they had a lot. I never saw the Eagles, the whole crew, but I did. My first job in high school was a ticket assistant or whatever you call it, the guy that checked your tickets at the Sandstone Amphitheater.
Sure.
Ticket, please.
And I don't know how old I was, 16, whatever, that I looked like I was about 11. I did a really good job making sure that people didn't bully me on their way into the fancy seats that they didn't really have tickets for, you know?
Right.
But the first concert I ever worked was Joe Walsh. So I got to see, he did some of the Eagles songs, you know.
I'm going to try to get a hold of my dad at some point and see if he can call in real quick and tell the Joe Walsh story. I don't know, have you ever heard the Joe Walsh story?
That involves Diamond Joe's, doesn't it?
Well, and, it was the Choteau Inn before Diamond Joe's, and that was my dad's hangout.
Yeah.
The Choteau Inn involved Joe Walsh, a gun, and a $20 bill.
Yep. I've heard this one.
Dad got home real late and threw at me. He goes, here. And what's that? He goes, this is from Joe Walsh. And a $20 bill signed by Joe Walsh.
I remember that's a good story. Very good story.
Don Henley, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, and Vince Gill have extended the Hotel California tour, which will hit Kansas City tonight. The show will feature the Hotel California album performed live in its entirety from start to finish. Then, and oh, by the way, accompanied by an orchestra and choir tonight. Then, after a short intermission, the band will perform a set of their greatest hits. So they'll perform the entire album, Hotel California, from start to finish, accompanied by a choir and an orchestra, and then have an intermission, and then they'll finish up with a long list of the greatest hits. And like Don Henley's going to do some of his stuff, so will Joe Walsh. And they have Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, fill in for him on a few songs. Of course, Glenn Frey no longer with us, but I can't wait. That's a bucket list concert, so we'll play some Eagles and Joe Walsh and Don Henley all morning long as Marco will celebrate. Marco, are you a fan, or are you just now figuring out who the Eagles are? Is this just dawning on you? Wait a minute. Hold on here.
Just disrespecting my parents like that, damn.
Do you like the Eagles?
I do. Actually, they're one of my favorite rock bands, so. Really? I enjoy them. Yeah.
Did you know they were in town tonight?
I did. My mom's texting me right now about wanting to get tickets. I'm like, no, we got Thanksgiving meal to prep.
No. If your mother wants to go to this show, you can get her tickets.
Nope.
With an orchestra and a choir, and they perform Hotel California from beginning to end, and then they do all the greatest hits. You look at the set list, it's unbelievable. I mean, some of the songs they performed, like Hotel California, of course, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, Try and Love Again, Take It Easy, Peaceful Easy Feeling, One of These Nights, Take It to the Limit, Witchy Woman.
No, it's a great set
list. I Can't Tell You Why, Lion Eyes, Tequila Sunrise, Life's Been Good, Funk Number 49, Already Gone, Heartache Tonight When the Royals Would Lose. Back in the day, in the George Brett era, when I was a little boy and I'd go with my parents, they'd lose, then what would they play at the stadium? Heartache Tonight. Desperado. Don Henley sings Boys of Summer. Let's go!
Yeah, so you get a little bit of Don Henley solo, a little bit of Joe Walsh solo, because I believe Funk 49 was a Joe Walsh number. If I'm
James Gang cover.
Great song.
But Life's Been Good.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good one. That's classic.
That's
Joe
Walsh.
Yeah.
You see it all. I cannot wait.
You gonna play Seven Bridges Road? That's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Ah, man, yes. Their voices really shine in that song.
And can you imagine that with an orchestra and a choir?
Wonderful.
Because Mike Boddicker saw them last time they were here, and Mike Boddicker is a big concert goer, and he said it was the best sounding concert he's ever been to.
And so, best sounding concert I've ever been to.
You know, just as far as the quality of sound and how good they sounded and everything, just the best sounding concert. So, and that's an old guy that can't hear much.
Right. So it really could have just been the ringing in his ears. Right. We don't know.
Whatever it is.
Huh?
All right. So you heard the breaking news from Dan Rather there at the top of the show.
That was?
Yes.
Was that a little Danny Rather over there?
Right. Where did you get that from again?
My vocals.
The fog.net. That was Michael Swain.
Do you hang out there on fog.net is what you do?
No.
I'm curious what you do in your spare time. Are you a member at fog.net apparently, or what's going on here?
I was trying to find
snooping around
some audio with someone talking about Leipold because that was breaking news.
This guy was a big time Nate. I'm saying Nate was a big time poster on Kansas message boards as the flying squirrel.
That's
Did you know that?
Not true.
He used to post rumors and innuendo, and he'd get as a big money donor, he'd get some insight, and he didn't want to post it as Nate Bucati, so he posted it as a flying squirrel to throw people off. And then he says he's not, but we kind of know he is. Also, he posts his KU Deep Throat, which is a whole new story.
That's true. Not going to deny that.
Right. And so your reaction to that news of Lance Leipold signing a lengthy extension to stay and I mentioned this to you earlier, right? There's an article in The Athletic that said that Nebraska, he was one of Nebraska's targets.
Right. Yeah, that just came out again like this week. It seemed like that talk had kind of cooled a little bit, you know, at the beginning of the season when the team was 5-0 and everybody was fired up.
This was a few days ago.
Yeah, it resurfaced and makes you nervous, you know. And
Did you ever think you'd live in a world where a Kansas head football coach would not be interested in going to Nebraska and said, I'm good, I'll stay here in Kansas.
Well.
Thank you.
No. I mean, and I don't know how exactly it worked.
Maybe, pat yourself on the back here. Don't be modest.
I will say this. And I've said it a few times. Travis Goff has done an incredible job as the athletic director of Kansas, in my opinion.
Why won't he come back on the show then?
Should we have him on?
Maybe.
I'll text him. I'll see if we got any time today.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, by the way?
A little name drop there.
He could have said, I'll reach out to him.
I'll text him.
But he wanted to make sure that you knew.
I got his number.
That he has his number.
Yeah.
Marco, right? He could have said, yeah. I'll have Marco reach out or I'll reach out.
Yeah.
I'll text him on his private line.
Yeah. Hey, keep it.
You like that, though. You're impressed by that. He got a big smile on his face. He likes
He knows
he's doing my
name.
Job. I like
he
it.
Knows
Marco
my name.
Likes that.
Most of the time,
does
he remembers it. When I see him, he remembers it.
He follows me on Twitter, which I don't think he should.
He's a really good guy, and he's done a good job. And obviously, he made an incredible hire with Lance Leipold. He's the first AD at KU to make a decent football hire since Al Bohl, before he was crushed like a dove by Roy Williams when he hired Mark Mangino.
And then he wrote a book called Back Porch Swing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't know why I remember
that. The name of the book should have been Crushed Like a Dove, but Travis Goff has managed to do all that without pissing off his entire donor base and basketball coach the way that Bull did. So Goff's done a really good job, and this is big news. And with the money they're trying to raise for the football stadium and all that, I mean, I think that he understands the importance that football plays in whatever comes next in college athletics. He's trying to make sure KU stays relevant. He's committing to it. I appreciate it.
I have a lot of stupid facts in my head. Why did I know what Al Bull's novel was?
I don't know. I've been swing. Very impressed by
I'm
that.
I'm not.
I'm so impressed
That's
by that.
That's taking up space like where my keys are.
Totally.
You know, or...
I always tell my wife, when I lose my keys, that's a sign of intelligence because I got a lot of stuff going on up here.
That's taking up important space of like what I was supposed to do yesterday. Yeah. Instead, Al Bull's novel is Back Porch Swing.
Did you remember to pick up the turkey? Oh, that's what I was supposed to do. I was thinking about Al Bull. Back Porch Swing.
Al Bull said his first novel, Back Porch Swing, is a wonderful book that will make people feel good. That was back in December of 2005.
Well, how many books has he got now?
I don't know.
That was his first.
I'm done researching that.
I don't remember seeing his Back Porch Swing, but I was in his driveway when he gave that infamous press conference in which he was crushed like a dove by Roy Williams. But
I'm going to tell you what, I've taken Susan to the Eagles and I'm going to watch her Back Porch Swing, hopefully.
Pow, play your cards right. She's listening on the radio right now, probably not helping your cause.
Going home.
But, man, Lance Leipold signing a contract extension is Massive news. And he already signed him to a new one before the season started, if you remember. But I obviously he understands that with the year that Leipold's had this year, this is very important. Because that is one of the things, like when I text with my buddies that are big KU fans about what's going on with the team this year, it's funny because some of them have been griping about the performances the last couple weeks. And I just can't get there. I'm like, look, man, this team won 6 games. How could I possibly expect anything more from this team after everything that's happened over the last 13 years? 6 wins is a miracle to me, and the program is headed in the right direction. Like, let this guy get some players in. I mean, not to say anything bad about the players, he's got some talent on the team, but they need more depth. They need a lot of things. Give him some time to put some recruiting classes together. And a lot of them say, oh, he's going to be gone in 2 years anyway. You know, we better enjoy this now.
Oh, I don't want to out him. Do I? I love him. He can't get mad at me.
Caesar.
So I had a Caesar officially RSVP'd for the birthday party.
Oh, he did?
Oh, so he'll be there Saturday.
Oh, boy.
They're going to have the Sunflower Showdown on the desk. Call me. So
we might want him
talking.
To turn it off halfway through.
He goes, it's so funny. He goes, I was planning to go to Manhattan. And he goes, I don't need to see that now. What do you mean you don't need this? He's not in person, at least, but he'll still watch it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I told him, like, we kid back and forth, but it's kind of true. I said, yeah, I was thinking about going to Mizzou, Arkansas, but they didn't quite earn that trip for me. Yeah, and then Caesar's like, exactly.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks, no, turn me off. And so, okay. And so we were talking, and he said, you know, the good thing about them losing a couple of games is, you know, maybe now he'll stay for a couple more years. And I said, well, see, that's a way of looking at it.
I mean, I honestly,
but that's, is that,
I felt that way. Like when I looked at the schedule, I said to some of my buddies, you know, dropping a few games here might not be the worst thing. Just to take a little bit of the steam out of his name, you know, just to cool. He said,
maybe that'll get Nebraska off of him.
Yeah.
Like they're just on him. And like,
yeah.
Aggressively.
Yeah. I did feel that way a little bit. I'm not going
to
lie.
I felt like I was talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right if they, you know.
So you understand his line of thinking there.
Yeah. And honestly, about the game on Saturday, look, if I hope Kansas goes and gives K-State a game. But seeing what Bijan Robinson did last weekend for Texas on the ground, and seeing how KU struggled to stop the run, I'm not feeling great about their chances of stopping Deuce Vaughn. Like, I'm just
Deuce
not
Vaughn's
feeling great about it.
Licking his chops, yeah, and yeah. It ain't for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope it turns out differently. But I'm trying to have realistic expectations. I'm thrilled the team's got 6 wins. That's incredible, you know.
And also because like. K-State's playing for a spot in the Big 12 title game. They're super motivated.
Yeah.
Not that they wouldn't be anyway, but
K-State's they're playing for a spot in the title game for a reason. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got a really good defense. It's a tough spot for KU. So, yeah, there might be a time you want to go to Manhattan because you think, yeah, hey, I like our chances. I don't know that this is it, but maybe you never know. Upsets happen. Yeah. But
well, good. So then I can get you set up with Caesar if you get there early to watch the game on Saturday.
Oh, we'll be there.
We'll get you taken care of. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back.
But just congratulations to Kansas.
Absolutely.
Huge news. Massive news for KU. As long as they can keep Lance Leipold there, I believe KU will be competitive every year. I don't know if they'll go be conference title winners or not, but they'll be competitive every year that Lance Leipold's your coach. I think we've already seen that.
And let me tell you, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Leipold for coming on the show once a week.
Yeah.
And never missing a week, whether it was a big win or a bad loss like it was to Texas. Because let me tell you something. You see these? I'm lucky I have any teeth left because getting college coaches to come on the radio live is like pulling teeth.
Pulling your own teeth?
Well, something like that.
Somebody's teeth.
You know, and here like Lance Leipold, like, okay, I'll come on every week and never like miss a week. I see it can be done. Mm-hmm. It's all right. It's pretty good. You know, Gary Pinkel did it every week. Barry Odom did it every week. I know at least Eli Drinkwitz came on 3 times with us in the preseason. But, you know, it can be done.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that out of him. Yeah. And I appreciate that out of Marco. Back after this on WHB.
Bells will be ringing. The sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas.
So I looked it up. Deacon Fry is no longer touring now with the Eagles, but still Vince Gill will be there. And the main, my man Don Henley, Timothy B. Schmidt, and Joe Walsh, it means it'll be a party.
Yeah.
And the choir and the orchestra, I can't wait. Tonight at 8 o'clock, and get some tweets from people going to be there. If you see me, say hi, but just don't pat me on the back or I will cry. Just real tears. Big ones. So I wanted to play this clip from Eli Drinkwitz in his press conference this week. And I thought you might find it interesting because he talks about something that everyone is going to be talking about here and probably already talking about the transfer portal and players leaving and, you know, who's leaving, who's staying. December 5th, all hell's going to break loose, right? I mean, it's free agency in college football. And just think about how many good players that have helped Kansas this year in the transfer portal. Think about how many good players have helped K-State or Mizzou and players that you lose in the battle, not only trying to go out and find some new talent for your team, but also keeping the talent that you have. And so Eli Drinkwitz was he was asked about a lot of different things. Gabe DeArmond asked him a really good question about progress and how do you define progress, you know, past just the record in your football team and know that you're building something that's going to be successful in the long run. But then this was, I thought, an interesting question about what's coming up in the transfer portal. I want to give the exact question that was the way it was asked, because he goes through and talks about, do you have any sense, the question was, do you have any sense of what December 5th is going to be like when the transfer portal opens? Because imagine being a coach and having to prepare for that, right? And say if you're going to a bowl game and everything, but like it's all hell's breaking loose. And so here's how Eli Drinkwitz answered that question of what it's going to be like when the transfer portal opens.
Be careful what you wish for. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to try to be measured with some of the things I say, just because I think this stuff always gets to be put back on you and all that stuff. But, you know, I think back to the question talked about growth, and very rarely is growth just like this. And very rarely in life, whether it's the story of bamboo grows very little for 6 years and then 6 weeks will sprout 6 feet. Whether you're talking about my father-in-law who's a farmer and you don't plant seed and it grows the next day, you got to go through a spring, you got to go through rain, you got to go through mud, you got to go through heat. And then something great comes and bursts through the ground for that. I think we're such a instant gratification era, including myself. I'm not putting this on anybody. It's the entire world we live in, that we're trying to skip the step of adversity and growth. And you're never going to be able to skip that in life. You're always going to have to face it, whether that's in your marriage, whether that's in your job, whether that's raising kids. And I know what's happened. We want to, as parents, as older people, we want to help the next generation not have to face some of the hardships that we faced. But man, the greatest generation in the world is the greatest generation, because they faced the Great Depression. They faced the World War II. You know, they figured it out. And I just worry about, there's going to be players who leave our program. And I love them dearly. And, you know, it's maybe they're not excited about their role, or they're frustrated because they don't feel like they're being utilized the right way. And sometimes you just got to keep growing, you know. And you know, sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And And sometimes you're just trading one set of problems for another. So,
Nate Buchady, your reaction to that?
I don't know that I could agree with what he said anymore. Because, and look, that doesn't mean that no one should ever transfer. And I don't think that Eli Drinkwitz is saying that. You know, every time we get into this conversation, I'll get an email from somebody that tells me about their niece or nephew or somebody that they know that's going through the transfer portal because it's not working where they are. And I get that. Sometimes you're in a place where this doesn't work. This doesn't work for either party, and I need to be somewhere else. That happens in life. But I do 100% agree with him that adversity is the old line is that adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. I think it does both. And as a person that's old enough to have gone through a few life experiences now, my dad was a big guy on deferred gratification. He talked about that all the time. The things that you really want the most in life are the things you're going to have to defer gratification for. You're going to have to, you're going to have to set some things aside that you want to do right now and just sacrifice until you get so that you can get where you want to be in the long term. And there's all kinds of examples. Me as a KU fan, the number one example is Russell Robinson, who came to Kansas, struggled his freshman year, wanted to transfer. He was homesick. He was from New York, and his dad told him to stick it out. What a favor his dad did him, because he ended up, by the time he was a senior, winning a national championship. And then you look at Jason Bean, the quarterback who lost his starting job to Jalen Daniels. He doesn't leave. He stays there. Jalen Daniels gets hurt. He goes and wins the game that puts Kansas in their first bowl game for 13 years and was openly weeping on the field afterwards because it meant so much to him. And I just think, I think that a lot of times our instinct as parents is to try to shield our children from falling down and skinning their knee or suffering. You don't want to see your kids suffer. It's a hard thing to do. But I will say that the most beautiful moments in my life have been a result of the deepest suffering that I've ever had. The Big Steps Foundation, losing my buddy Sean was probably the deepest pain I've ever felt, because I'm lucky enough to say I haven't lost a parent yet. And I have watching you and Jake and people like that go through it, or a sibling. I haven't suffered that yet, but losing Sean was the biggest thing to me that I've suffered from a pain standpoint. And the most beautiful moments of my life in many ways have come as a result of that. I dig everything Eli Drinkwitz had to say there. And it's going to be hard, though, because options make it harder. When you can just leave, sometimes, it makes it harder to have those moments.
That's exactly right. Transfer portal, December 5th, all hell will break loose. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we're very happy to have our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. You can follow him on Twitter. Kaplan NFL is his handle. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm well. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners. And boy, what a week. What a week it was last week in the National Football League. Lots of craziness. But your typical things that you think are going to happen don't happen. And then quarterbacks get benched. People are complaining. It's been an interesting season so far, no doubt.
So before we get into the slate of games on Thanksgiving and what's going to happen this weekend, I wanted to talk to you about the Chiefs' victory over the Chargers. And the entertainment value was very high for any NFL fan that watched that game, unless you're call yourself a Chargers fan. The Chiefs just continually ripped their heart out in dramatic fashion. Travis Kelce is unbelievable against the Chargers. And when there was 1:46 left and two timeouts after the Chargers scored, everyone knew what was going to happen. I'm just curious from your perspective, when you watch Travis Kelce and when you watch Patrick Mahomes and you watch what they did in the final minute of that game, what's your reaction?
Well, considering all the problems that they had at receiver position with all the injuries and Kadarius Toney is the latest with yet another hamstring problem, though it's not serious. It's always a concern because this is the same injury which has plagued him for 2 years now. But someone had to step up to the plate, and it was Kelce, of course, with the three touchdowns. And the best closer in the National Football League is Patrick Mahomes. Just, he's incredible. I mean, if he's got the ball at the end of the game and they have to win, you know he's going to get the job done. You just know it. It's just rare for him not to get that done. So, yeah, it was amazing performance by Mahomes. But the story of this game, and it's really important because you're going to need this at some point, Isaiah Pacheco taking over as their lead back. Boy, what a great job he did, running with velocity and power. I'm so impressed by him. It's interesting that he went as late as he did. He didn't have great college production, but, boy, he has been a breath of fresh air. What a acquisition he was from this past draft. And without him, folks, just to keep them on schedule, I don't know if they win that game because you can't always put it on the quarterback. At some point, you got to be able to run the football when you try to, and they certainly could do that with Pacheco.
Yeah, that was you're right, Adam. That changed the entire complexion of the game when the Chiefs came out in the second half and committed to the run game for a period of time. That seemed to open up everything for Mahomes the rest of the way. And it's crazy to watch Pacheco run. We were saying this, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, unfortunately for him, got hurt in the game, but if you watch the two of those guys run and said which guy was the seventh round pick and which guy was the first round pick, you would be stunned at the way that shook out. And everybody's wondering, how do guys like Pacheco end up in the seventh round?
Yeah, that's certainly when it happened. When I started to hear in training camp how well he was doing, I checked into it. He had fifth to seventh round grades from a lot of teams that I spoke with. And it was just a matter of he didn't mature a little bit and he get himself together and he was able to do that. And it's been a great find for them. And by the way, he's more explosive than CEH. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. CEH was a late first-round pick, last pick of the round in that draft. But CEH has just not been the player they thought they were drafting. Remember, people talked about the versatility and all that. We just have not seen it. We saw a little bit of this earlier in the season. He was more effective. But Pacheco's the guy. I don't care when CEH gets healthy. Pacheco's going to be the back going forward. Jerick McKinnon has carved out his role in the pass and run game. He's been very, very valuable. It was good to see Sky Moore get something done there. They ran out of receivers, and Justin Watson's kind of like their deep threat, their shot guy. Fortson made a big play downfield for 40 yards. It, despite all the injuries they've had, again, they get the job done. Against the defense, quite frankly, Brandon Staley's got to look at himself. This defense has been largely disappointing this season.
All right, let's move on to what's happening this week in the NFL. A trio of interesting games on Thanksgiving, and we will be most interested in the Lions hosting the Bills. The Lions have 3 wins in a row. They went up and put it on the New York Giants. Buffalo's favored by 9.5. Do you give the Lions any chance at pulling the upset over Buffalo in Detroit?
You know, this season, yeah, did they have a couple of clunkers? Sure, they definitely did. Again, back-to-back losses on the road at New England and at Dallas. They play the Dolphins at home. I mean, they blew that game. You know, they've blown a lot of games this season. The Vikings game, the Dolphins game, they had it. The first Vikings game at Minnesota, they had a very good chance to win. They had a lead there. And then they've reeled off 3 wins. Did they beat any really good teams? Well, the Giants have a winning record. The Giants are having trouble scoring. They just lost their slot receiver, Wandale Robinson, for the season due to a torn ACL. The craziness of that Chicago game back and forth. I mean, who would have believed that 61 points would have been scored? And then they really, what they've done, guys, is they're not blitzing as much. They're playing way more discipline on the back end. They're not making a lot of dumb, like, timing errors on defense. They're just structured better. I give Aaron Glenn credit. They changed things up since their week 6 bye, and that's why they're playing more competitive football. Do they have a chance? Sure. But you know what the Bills are going to do. This ball is going to be thrown deep, and they're playing indoors, and you know it's coming here. It's going to be hard for the Lions. I think they can make it interesting, but you know the Lions are they're committed to running the football with Jamal Williams, by the way, not DeAndre Swift, and it seems to be working.
Okay, then the later game, the Giants taking on Dallas, and this one I think is interesting, Adam, because it's 2-7-3 teams that I feel very differently about. I don't see these two teams as being on equal footing, and maybe that's recency bias and what happened the last weekend between the two teams. But with Dallas throttling a really good Minnesota team the way that they did, what do you see in this game? Is this a mismatch, or are these two teams that are really, that deserve to have similar records?
Yeah, well, let's start with the Giants. They're offensively challenged. If Barkley does not have a big game, it's really hard for them to win. They're beat up on the offensive line. They've got a lot of injuries all of a sudden. And they started off with a suspect receiver core, and it's just been decimated with a Tony trade. Obviously, he wasn't really playing anyway. Wandell Robinson injury, which I just mentioned. Kenny Golladay has given them next to nothing. So they're in trouble here. Now, Dallas, here's what happened with the Minnesota game. This is just kind of the way I viewed it coming in. I had a feeling this was going to happen. So they had a deeply emotional game. That game, we know, first of all, the Vikings have come back and won a bunch of games this season. They're down 17, 27 to 10 in the third quarter 2 weeks ago at Buffalo. They played poorly. They looked like they were going to get blown out, and they somehow, we talked about this last week, they figured out a way to win where a game they should not have won. It's more like the Bills lost it. But okay, fine, that was a great win. And I know it was a non-conference game, but they just expended so much energy in that game. They were unbelievably flat at home against the Cowboys. Are the Cowboys 37 points better? No, they're not. But the Cowboys have a terrific defense. Dak Prescott played better. Tony Pollard's given some juice in the run game, really explosive, also in the pass game in particular. Now, the Cowboys, to me, are the better team than the Vikings. Now, the New England comes in where, you know, they've won 5 out of 7. They're playing good football. They had the clunker at home against Chicago, but defensively, they are dangerous because what happens is in the 3-game win streak, they're gonna throw things at teams that they're not used to seeing what they throw at you. Like Zach Wilson, who they played 2 out of the last 3 games, he played poorly, and that's one of the many reasons why he should be benched this week. So they've had a good schedule. They play the Colts, submarine there in between there, but their schedule has obviously been great. If you look at the Patriots' schedule, they have not played a team with a winning record since week 3. So we need to understand. Well, actually, I'm sorry. The Jets, the two, since week 3, they've played one team with a winning record. That's the Jets, 2 out of the last 3 weeks. They beat them soundly. But the Patriots guys have trouble scoring right now, and that's certainly a concern.
All right, looking ahead to Sunday, here's an intriguing matchup. What about the Bengals at the Titans?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, and the Bengals play the Chiefs soon. The Titans, boy, they had the game of their season. They just really handled the Packers in Lambeau. That was really impressive. They found their deep threat. They've been looking for one in Treylon Burks. So, to me, they've got it going on right now. And, by the way, this is a rematch of the divisional round game where the Titans played poorly at home. Remember, Derrick Henry came back from his broken foot early, and he really wasn't ready to go. But they're playing great football. Quite frankly, when you look at the Titans, guys, there are a few teams playing better than the Titans right now. They're a team that's won 7 out of 8 games, so they're just playing great. And they're really good on defense, very underrated on that side of the football.
All right, so the Chiefs will host the defending world champs, the L.A. Rams. But boy, they don't look like a defending world champion because they are 3-7, and they have multiple injuries. So they hobble into Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs are favored by 14.5, but as you said, then they got a road trip to Cincinnati waiting for them. What about this matchup against the Rams at Arrowhead on Sunday?
Well, here's the problem for the Rams. Cooper Kupp done IR for the season with a significant right ankle injury. This is incredible, but I looked it up. Someone told me this. I want to make sure it was correct. They're tackling down to their 5th left tackle. So we're including Andrew Whitworth retiring. His replacement, Joe Newpom, tours Achilles. He's out for the season. Jackson, who's a backup right tackle, left tackle, had been starting at left tackle. He's on injured reserve. Chandler Brewer, who's their 4th-string tackle, he's a great 3 MCL. He's probably done for the season. Ty Nasecki, I remember Ty Nasecki when he was in the Arena League many years ago. He started the last 2 weeks. He's their 5th-string left tackle. They don't really have anybody else. They're down David Edwards, who's one of the starting guards with multiple concussion issues. Brian Allen, their center, has a thumb injury. He just came back from knee surgery. Their offensive line, guys, is decimated. They don't run the ball very well. Matthew Stafford had his 2nd concussion in consecutive weeks. I can't imagine he's going to play. His backup, John Wolford, had a neck injury. He wasn't available last week. The only healthy side of the ball they have is on defense. That's why they're playing respectable defense, is they've got guys who can go out there. They have pretty much all their starters, but offensively they're a shell of what they once were, and they're in trouble here. And Frank Clark back from, as we know, a suspension last week. That was big. I expect the Chiefs defense to play better than it did against the Chargers. And, yeah, the line is what it is because this game should be a blowout.
And, look, the Chiefs had a tough first half defensively. In the second half, they were really good, and they had 5 sacks, and now they are tied for 4th in the NFL in sacks with 32. And look, that is something that we circled in the offseason. We circled before the trade deadline. We thought the Chiefs needed to get a better pass rush. And now it's come from Mike Dana. It's come from Colin Saunders. Like you said, Frank Clark is back. Chris Jones has been playing at a defensive player of the year level. Spags has guys like Willie Gay and Nick Bolton and even Legarius Sneed, who he can blitz. George Karloftis still isn't coming up with numbers, but he's putting pressure on the quarterback. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are showing that they can get to the quarterback, and that's a big development for them, right?
Yeah, getting Dana back from his calf injury, which had been plaguing him all season with the two sacks last week, that was great to see. Nick Bolton was everywhere, plus he had the pick. Look, they got it going on right now. The only thing is they had bad communication on the back end with Josh Palmer. That should not have happened. The 50-yarder, just when you're playing some sort of a matchup zone in cover two, you got to communicate better, and then they'll fix that. Keenan Allen got loose a little bit. Remember, Mike Williams he re-injured that right high ankle sprain, so they got to do a little bit better on the back end and tackle a little bit better with Eckler. But the bottom line is they did win the game. They'll make their corrections, and this is a game, obviously, that they're not going to have a problem with. I can't wait, though, until when the Bengals come in, folks, in 2 weeks. Actually, the Chiefs play at Cincinnati.
Right.
That is going to be a fun game because if Jamar Chase isn't back this week, he'll be back the following week. And Burrow is playing out of his mind. He is all the way back. He struggled earlier in the season, but he's playing great football right now.
And that Bengals team, just to go back to them for a second, I was a big believer in them actually backing up what they did last year because they were so young on their roster. And I thought they went out and basically tried to do what the Chiefs did last year, going into last year, which was rebuild their offensive line so that they wouldn't put Burrow in so many bad spots. There were a lot of growing pains with that Bengals offensive line early. How much better are they getting it? Are they in a better spot as the season goes on now, or is that still a problem area for the Bengals?
Yeah, they have four new starters. They've had a sort of a revolving door at left guard, but they're set with Jonah Williams, has been there for a long time. Collins comes over from the Cowboys. He's playing better football. Kappa from the Bucs. Karras has been around with the Dolphins and Patriots. So, yeah, it's better. It was really first four or five games, they were not playing well. But the other thing is they got to get Chase back because they're going with Trent Irwin, who's sort of like a fifth receiver. It's really Tyler Boyd in the slot. T. Higgins is tremendous on the other side. By the way, the big issue here is that Joe Mixon suffered a concussion. And Samaje Perine had three receiving touchdowns, which is incredible. He's not much of a runner, but he's good in the pass game. But if they don't have Mixon, you can't go against the Chiefs and not have a run game. You don't want to get in the throw fest. Probably will happen because that's really what the Bengals do. But you got to be careful of thinking you're going to go in there and throw the ball 50 times plus.
Okay, final question for you. Marco has hit a real rough patch. We're trying to get him right for Thanksgiving. Bills, Lions, the Buffalo's favored by 9.5. Dallas is favored by 9 over the Giants. And Minnesota's favored by 2.5. Is there any game in particular on Thanksgiving, any pick that you really like that we can lock Marco on and get him going for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, what's the Bills spread as they play their 4 days?
Nine and a half.
You know what the thing about the point spreads this year? The big favorites, like if you want the team that everybody knows should win, you're paying a premium price.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing that's been really noticeable this year with these teams that are heavily favored. I would say the Bills, just because the Lions, I want to see them go against a good passing team that could exploit their secondary. And obviously Josh Allen come back in that stadium indoors, by the way, which is the key here. You don't have to worry about the elements. And, but you know, he's thrown the ball pretty well with that right elbow injury. That's been surprising. Yeah, they roll, though. They start off slowly against the Browns, then they rolled. I expect them to do it. You know what? Honestly, if I had to rank them, though, what's the Cowboys spread?
9.
Yeah, the Cowboys shouldn't have any. I don't know how the Giants are going to score now. They're really down without Rondell Robinson. They just don't have anything at receiver. I'd rank up Cowboys 1, Bills 2. What's the Vikings spread?
2.5.
Oh, boy. Probably the Vikings. Yeah, I expect the Vikings to bounce back. But, yeah, I would say the Cowboys right now just because of where the Giants are offensively.
All right. Marco is taking his notes. Adam, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We appreciate your time very much, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
That's our man, Adam Kaplan, talking NFL. Back after this on WHB.